Let me just pray for us. Lord, as we just gather in your presence now, we've had an amazing time of worship, of song, of lifting up your name, in reflecting on that you know our name as we sang that song. And Lord, as I share your word, may it be about you. May you be glorified. May you be honored. And Lord, help me also through the painful pieces as well. Just as I share, may you be the one who is central and focused of this talk, Lord. In your wonderful name, amen. Now, I'm going to apologize up front to our virtual audience. It's hard to look at the camera and not pan the room, but I will try and remember you as well. So, and just as a start off, how many of you, just think of your day job, and you go to work every day, and how often does you suddenly hit a patch and everything just goes south? It just all goes wrong. I see a lot of heads nodding. I had that a few months ago. I have more other cases as well, more recently, but this specific one. I was preparing for a conference, a global conference I was leading. Because of COVID, it had suddenly shifted to a digital experience. And as we were doing that, we were looking at suddenly hosting for 3,000 people. And so it was exciting. It was a great opportunity. But there were tons of problems, all sorts of different things. One specific problem is, of these 3,000 participants from across the world, how would we break them up into 600 discussion groups so that they were in a group with someone who spoke a language they understood? I'm excited to say we solved it. It was amazing. God gave us those ideas and how to do it. But sort of 3 days before the conference, we had a dress rehearsal. We were all gathered in a church here in Orlando, gathered together, and we all had done our parts, brought it all together. And as we came together, we sensed it was going to be a nice, easy day. Couldn't be further from the truth. Everything went wrong. Just people couldn't connect. Then there was no video. Then somebody didn't have sound. And it was just, as we just tried and tried and did our different things, frantically trying to get this together, we just couldn't get it together. We were in a panic. Our self-confidence, our self-reliance was just out the window. And so I want to take us to the scripture today, to a story where the disciples were in that same situation, crying out for help, where they felt they had lost it. And so the story is from the Gospel of in the scriptures, in the New Testament. But the gospel he wrote, we believe, comes from the preaching of Jesus. And so as he was Jesus preaching, in terms of that message, as Peter was preaching, Mark was writing down those stories. And so the Gospel of Mark essentially is Peter's first-hand encounters or personal stories of Jesus' life. And so this story that we're going to look at follows a section where Mark is trying to show to us that Jesus is the Son of God. He's the Messiah. And so we have four parables, and then we have four examples of Jesus' power over the natural elements, over demons, over sickness, and even over death. And so that's the context and the writer of the story. The story takes place on the Sea of Galilee, and I'll get to some slides in a moment about that. Now, I've been privileged over the last few years to go to Israel and to lead a tour around Israel, looking at the life of Christ. And so this story takes place most probably somewhere on the western side of the Sea of Galilee. This is where we have the Sermon on the Mount. We have Jesus going from village to village. And as he goes from village to village, he's healing people. He's teaching people. And these stories that take place happen in that context. Sometimes Jesus would be teaching people on the shoreline, and he would get into a boat so that he would give himself some space between the audience and himself. And so this day would have been one of those. And so this is a boat, sort of what it would have looked like in terms of what the disciples had. But it's exciting because God actually preserved a boat for us from the time of Jesus. This is not necessarily Jesus' boat, but it is from that time. It got buried in the mud, and about 20 years ago, they discovered this, and through a marvelous modern technology, they were able to lift it out, preserve it. It didn't just collapse, but this is a boat like what Jesus would have had and what the disciples would have had. Another important thing about this story, the Sea of Galilee as we know it, or Lake Kinneret as they would have known it, or as is known in Israel today, is the place where the disciples went fishing every day. This was their day job. This is where they went. They were familiar with it. They knew the sights and the sounds. They knew the storms that came up. They were very familiar with this place. And also just remember why I had that picture of that boat up. Is what they discovered as they examined that boat, is there are 10 different types of wood in that boat. And the reason for that is the repairs. Over time, they just stick on a new piece of wood to fix a hole or something that's happened. But those repairs are never quite as strong as the original one. And so you've got, this is the type of boat that the disciples were in, and that they took this journey. And so we pick up the story at the end of the day. Jesus is dismissing the crowd. They get into the boat, and they're going to cross to the other side. And that's the instruction that Jesus has given them. So as they start out, they would have most probably been pretty tired, but they would have eaten their night rations or their dinner rations, whatever they had with them, as they were going off, heading out. I think the disciples were thinking, wow, that was a busy day. Pretty exhausted. It's across as Jesus had told them. So they were relatively peaceful as they started out this trip. After the dinner rations, Jesus and a few of the others said, hey, I'm going to take a break. Just go and lie down. We'll pick up in the morning on the other side. And so somewhere around the middle of the night, pitch dark, no lights, suddenly the storm came up, as does happen on the Sea of Galilee. It's almost instant. And but the disciples, being the sailors that they were, but it was just getting bigger and bigger. And so the disciples were just sort of starting to get a little nervous. This is not their everyday ordinary storm. And so as those waves started crashing in, they're at their battle station, some of them with buckets, water out. But they also noticed that Jesus is still asleep. It's like, hey, have we made enough noise yet to wake him up? This water, is it not him enough to wake up? Rising in the boat as they were just thinking through what was happening. And eventually one of them just lost it. Said, teacher, don't you care? We're going to drown. And you're sleeping? And so it's a little challenging. That's a calling Jesus out, and how's he going to respond to this, don't you care? It's amazing how Jesus responds. Just the peaceful and quiet way in terms of how he sort of gets up. He immediately assesses the situation. He doesn't speak to them. His immediate and first reaction actually blows my mind. He rebukes the storm. But not, what does he rebuke the storm? His rebuke is peace. Who of you, when you're angry, scream peace? Who of you say shalom? It's a strange rebuke. But we see an amazing, incredible peace just come across the waves and the wind as Jesus gives this rebuke. The storm has listened to a man. How is that even possible? Have we ever seen that? Other than the story, it's a familiar story to us, this one. But have we seen that even in the Bible? No. The disciples were like mind blown. How can he just say peace? And we have peace. It's incredible, amazing peace. And so you can see the disciples' minds suddenly start churning. Who is this? Hey, we thought we knew this guy, this friend of ours. And Jesus asked them, why are you afraid? And there's an awkward silence, an awkward moment. In a way, he's like, don't you know who I am? I am with you. It's a moment of amazing serenity on that boat. But at the same time, amazing introspection and reflection by the disciples. And their response is, who is this? Now in the scriptures, we've seen how, in the story of Elijah, and Pastor spoke about it actually last Sunday, recently, the stopping of the rain and then the coming of the rain. We have the story where in King Hezekiah, the sun moves backwards. But each of those instances, it's God who did that. It wasn't a man. And here in this story, we see Jesus as a man, calming the storm. And so let's take a look at the scriptures. Let's look at Mark 4, verse 35 to 41. So I'll be slightly different from what's on the screen. I'm reading from the English Standard Version, the ESV, from verse 35. For on that day, when evening had come, he said to them, let us go across to the other side. And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. And other boats were with him, and a great storm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a cushion. They woke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? And he woke and rebuked the wind and the sea. Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was great calm. He said to them, why are you afraid? Have you still no faith? And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? So what are we learning from this story? We see the disciples were likely trusting in their own abilities. As that storm started out, they just turned to their instincts, into their natural abilities, their learned patterns. But they got to the point where it was beyond them. We also see in the story that Jesus was with them the whole time. He was in the boat. He never left them. He was right there waiting for them to reach out to him. Hebrews 13, verse 5, the second part of it says, Jesus says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. That's the call and the promise that Jesus has given us. We also see in the story how Jesus gave them a specific instruction. We are going to the other side. He knew full well that they were going to get to the other side. He gave them that instruction. And so when God gives us an instruction, we need to trust him and obey him and know that he's with us to accomplish that. And so we have stories in the Bible like Jonah, who God gave him an instruction, and he was not keen to follow it out. How did that turn out for him? Swallowed by a fish, spat out on the beach, and he still had to go to Nineveh. This story is here because God wants us to see that Jesus is divine. And that he has divine authority over the wind and the waves. He has divine authority over the storms in our lives and what's happening with us. And so I want to tell you about our storm. And so they're going to put up some photos. They're just going to scroll through. And these are photos of Peter, our son. Our biggest storm happened in 2010. We were visiting with some friends. We had lunch in their garden. We were sitting out. The kids had finished, and they were busy playing on the lawn with the balls and having fun. Peter, being 2 years old, went over to the water feature, which was a big concrete bowl on a pedestal, and he was putting his hands in because that's what small boys love to do, get wet, play with the water. Unfortunately, unbeknown to us and to our friends, the water feature wasn't set up properly and was unstable, and it toppled over. We thought Peter had injured his leg. It had looked really sad, sore, and he was in a lot of pain. So we rushed to the ER room, and there they discovered that his stomach had ruptured because a piece of concrete had fallen on his abdomen. So he was rushed into surgery, and we were just in such a panic. There was no way. This storm was way bigger than any one of us could handle. And as we kept turning to prayer, we summoned prayer from around the world. And our friends just came around us as we waited outside that surgery room. And as he went to bed that night under anesthetic and sedated, we just felt a sense of peace as we prayed and as we trust God. And as we knew, people around the world were praying for us and praying with us. The next morning, we felt the storm lifting. We felt a sense of peace as the doctor said, we've done a good job with the surgery. There should not be any complications. Little did we know the tsunami was actually still building. About an hour later, his body went into shock. His heart stopped, and despite being in the best hospital in the country, with amazing medical personnel right there to serve and to resuscitate him, the Lord took him and his life ended. It was really sad, really hard, really difficult. Sometimes the storms in life just crash into the boat and we feel swamped by the waves, beaten around by the waves. Like the disciples that night, we did not know where to turn, and so we turned to Christ. I don't know what the tsunami is that has hit you and has come across your life. Some of you have lost children. Some of you have experienced cancer. Some of you have lost parents. We all have different storms, but Jesus is there with us to see us through. Now, I will say that there are storms that Jesus calms. There are times when he brings amazing and miraculous healings. But not every tsunami is restored. And we'll come back to that. Like we sang at the beginning, Jesus knows my name. Like the disciples in the boat, Jesus was there with them every single moment. And because Jesus is always with us, we can turn to him. In the middle of that storm, middle of that tsunami, whatever it might be. And we see the disciples turning to Jesus, waking him. Yes, they were a little frayed in the nerves and a little anxious and calling him out. But he saved them. He knew exactly what they needed. And every moment as we try to make sense of what was happening, as the emotions overwhelmed us, we would turn to Jesus. As we would lose it and get anxious, we would turn to Jesus. As pain would grab us, we would turn to Jesus. As what if and anger overwhelmed us, we would turn to Jesus. Because Jesus is with us. Because Jesus is always with us, we can trust him. Jesus first responded to the storm in the disciples' lives at that moment because he knew what they were going through. He had not left them. What's encouraging in 1 Corinthians 10:13, Jesus says he will always provide a way out, a way of escape that we may be able to endure whatever situation we find. And so, yes, we prayed for a miracle in the ambulance. We prayed for a miracle outside that surgery room. In the ICU, we prayed for miracles. We prayed for Peter to be raised from the dead. Our pastor came and prayed. We know missionaries, pastors, priests, Jews. Everyone we knew was praying for Peter. But God chose to do a different work in us and through us. I don't know why he chose not to heal Peter or restore him, but I know that because Jesus is always with us, I can always trust him. Because Jesus is always with us, God is always with us. Remember, Mark is telling us this story because of the deity of Jesus, that he is God. And so Jesus has promised that he will always be with us. He will never leave us. He is God, and he is with us. To comfort those of you like us, the good news is that because Jesus is always with us, we can trust him when life feels out of control. And so when I think back to that dress rehearsal, how everything was out of control, we could turn to Jesus, and we did. We spent about 20 unhurried minutes in prayer. Those of us in the room, there were others of us on the call. And so there was a group of us around the world as we prayed. And slowly we felt the peace of God and the tranquility physically return to that room and to our hearts. No, the challenges did not disappear. But we were able to apply a God-centric or a Jesus-centric approach as we solved each problem. And then this started to work and that started to work. But it got nerve-wracking. 30 seconds before the end, the last thing fell into place. We don't know how. It was a miracle, but things started to work. And so will you take a moment now to thank Jesus because he is always with us. Take a moment to hand over what's that tsunami or that storm in your life. He tells us in Philippians 4, to be anxious about nothing, and with all things in prayer and supplication to make our requests known to him, so that the peace that passes all understanding, or the peace that transcends understanding, will keep our hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of Jesus. And so I want to offer that peace to you. Whatever storm you are facing, hand it over to Jesus. Turn to Him for His peace. I want to pray for you, and then I want to tell you a story from this past week. It's a story, it's a 4-year story, but it had a beautiful culmination in this past week. But let me pray for us first, as we bring that storm before the cross. Lord, you know the storm in each of our hearts. You know the pain that each one of us are experiencing. You know what we're going through. There may be other people who know the storm that we're experiencing, or it may be just personal deep inside. We want to come and lay that storm before you. Thank you that because you are always with us, you know what that storm is. Because you are in our lives and present with us, we can trust you. And now we turn to you with this pain and this agony, thanking you for the healing that you will provide, the resolution that you will bring about as we turn to you. Thank you that no problem is too big or too difficult for you. No issue is too hard for you to solve because you are God. And so thank you that because you are always with us, we know that you are God and are always with us. Amen. Amen. And so as I want to celebrate and end on a high note, these past 4 years, I've spent a lot of time, you know, as many of you know here in the church, as I've traveled to Eastern Europe, and especially to Albania, to work with Kadis and Rudy Bakali. They have been our leaders in Central and Eastern Europe in terms of church planting. This past year, they've transitioned into, this whole time, they've actually done a lot of work in the digital space, helping lead a church online, helping us as an organization think of church online. And this last year with COVID, they've specifically broadened that scope. And so they've been working with Didier in Burundi. Didier in Burundi is our church planting leader for the nation of Burundi. And Didier has done what has been most common in Africa, face-to-face ministry. But because of COVID, Didier got stuck and didn't know which way to turn. And so Kadis and Rudy came alongside and have been helping him. And what's exciting for me and Marie is the tools that Kadis and Rudy have been helping Didier with are the tools that Marie's team has been putting together. That they were putting together way before COVID came along. But they've been putting it together. And it was amazing how Kadis and Rudy could walk a journey with Didier to implement some of these digital strategies. But as you know, Campus Crusade for Christ has our origins on campus and working with students, and that's still a very key part of what we do. And so Didier in Burundi has been working with our student ministry leader. And so their strategy and their focus has been, how do we plant churches on student campuses? And so in these last few weeks, as Kadis and Rudy and Didier have been working together with our campus ministry leader in Burundi, they've had a target and they're working to establish churches on 5 new campuses where we've had no expression of the gospel. And so this week was the launch of that whole campaign. And so it's exciting how what Marie and I have been doing in different departments of the organization in different ways have just come together in a beautiful picture of God working together. And Catalyst Community has been a part of that because you have been enabling us and supporting us and providing for us. And so we want to thank you as a church for your contribution. And yes, most of our money comes from South Africa, as Pastor said at the beginning. And South Africa is going through an incredible recession as a result of the lockdown, the severe lockdown that they had to implement in South Africa. The economy shrunk by 51%, according to the Wall Street Journal. And so our resources are not what they used to be. And so we appreciate this church stepping up and helping us and coming alongside. And so as Marie said, there are prayer cards on the back table. Love you to take one and pray for us. Your gift at the end of this service would be greatly appreciated. But also, if you would like to give on an ongoing monthly basis, please also speak to us. We have information and details for you for that. And so thank you. Thank you, Pastor David and Angela, in terms of your support of us as missionaries and also as members of this church. And so it's a great privilege for us. Missionaries of Catalyst, but also as members in the youth ministry, in the audio ministry, in Sunday schools. It's been a great privilege for us to be a part of all of those ministries. And so thank you. And I trust that today's message, again, the fact that Jesus is always with us, will encourage you and strengthen you and motivate you through whatever storm arises tomorrow, whatever storm arises this week. Whatever you may be dealing with, I want you to know that Jesus is with you to carry you and walk through with you. Amen. Thank you, Pastor David.
Thank you, Reverend Stephan. We are honored to have this family. Here and to think about their journey. They have not lived an easy life where everything has always gone their way, quite the contrary. Sometimes, you know, it's easy to praise God and shout hallelujah when everything's coming up roses, you know, like they say. But when you go through horrendous trials and times of affliction, the real character of Christ is forged inside of you. And to see them serving the Lord wholeheartedly with all their might is proof of the reality of the calling of God. It's a calling of God that goes beyond our feelings. If you live just by your feelings, you're never going to find the best that God has for you. I don't know who this is for this morning. Maybe it's for me. All of us can be a slave to our feelings, right? But when Jesus corrected the disciples and they were so excited about, what their calling was, Jesus had to make them realize it was even greater than their feelings. It's because his word has power. And so I don't need to say any more because it's all been said. I'm going to ask the ushers, perhaps, Brother Lonray, if anyone would like an envelope to perhaps put your offering in or to write out a check, you can just raise your hand and the ushers will quickly help you with that if you would like an envelope. And if you're making out a check, make it out to Catalyst. They'll be getting the entire offering, the entire offering. How many of you believe this is the right time to do this? Amen? Yes. Yes, yes. If you want to give online, you can go to our catalystorlando.org, and then there's a space where you can designate, just mention the Dells. You can just mention their name for the Dells, and we'll figure out it. You know, all of it, and by next week we'll have a tabulation. We can rejoice together. Let's stand together, shall we? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I want to just share this last point with everyone. There is a calling that comes to people. When Jesus first met the disciples, they were busy fishing, but they hadn't caught anything that one particular night. And Jesus said, come and follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. I still believe that there are calls that emanate from heaven, that God is speaking to people. And I ask you to just bow your heads for a moment. I'm just praying very specifically. I think there's some people in this room who've been wrestling with a calling from God. And you need to say yes. You need to say yes to the Lord. Just the way the Dells said yes in their university days. I received the call of God when I was about 17 years old. But it doesn't matter. I know people in their 60s and 70s who are still answering a call. One minister that I knew was a hero growing up. I always looked up to. I didn't know him personally, but the story was told how at 70 years old, from Chicago, he went all the way to Argentina and started the modern-day Pentecostal movement in Argentina at 70 years old. Just got started. There's nothing too hard for God. And while your eyes are closed and your heads are bowed, I just want to ask you if you would be willing to say yes to Jesus for whatever he's asking you, for whatever he's calling you to do, whether it be something small or something great. Would you lift a hand right now? Don't look around. This is just between you and God. Just lift a hand and say, yes, I will go, Lord. Yes, I will listen. Yes, I will obey, God. I will do whatever you ask me, Lord. Thank you, Father, for many hands going up today. And so, Pastor Angela, come and join me on the platform here. We're going to pray a blessing over you as you prepare your offering. You can be seated again. Thank you for staying with us for this extra moment. Yes, Lord, we want to lift up this precious family, and let's just stretch our hands over towards them. God, we thank you that this church has been hosting this family. What an honor it is, Lord, to have a missionary family that's touching the world, churches being multiplied. I was reading their newsletter, and there's one place, and there are 800 churches a day. I mean, I guess the combined effort of all their efforts is resulting in 800 churches a day that are being planted. This is the work of Christ. I am in awe. Amen. I don't know about you, but this I'm struck with wonder at how God can use ordinary people like us. Can somebody say amen? He can use you too to do great things for him if you will say yes to Jesus. Bless this family, Lord. Surround them with peace. Surround them with your health. We pray that their financial need will be met according to your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. As they have given their lives, Lord, they've sown their lives. I pray they will reap an abundant harvest. Hallelujah. We pray you would bless every giver today. Everyone who's willing to sow a sacrificial seed into this mission work. This is a worthy effort. This is a fertile field. Touching the world, planting churches all around the world. You can't think of a better missionary project. And so, Father, bless these offerings now and multiply them to the honor and glory of your name. And everyone said amen and amen. Ushers, would you please collect the offering? And if you have to go, you can do it online, catalystolano.org. And you could also bring it next week if you weren't prepared. We'll wait till next week before we tally the amount. How many of you are excited? Say amen. All right. All right. All right. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord.
Yes. I love that story, Brother Stephan. I love it because, you know, many times when the storm comes, we have to remember what the Lord told us. Don't doubt in the dark what you knew in the light. And Jesus had said to the disciples, we're going over. He didn't say we're going to drown, and he didn't say they weren't going to have a storm. But he did say, we're going over. We're going to make it on the other side. So remember what God has told you in your times of prayer and seeking him and the assurances he's given them. Hold on to that in Christ. Amen.
He is faithful to perform what he promised. Amen? Amen. All right, let's stand one more time. Hallelujah. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all we could ask or imagine, according to his great power that is at work within us. It's not by might, it's not by power, it's by my Spirit, says the Lord. This is not the work of the flesh, but if you follow the Holy Spirit, you will see great things done. Now to him be glory in Christ Jesus and in the church for all ages to come. And all God's people said, amen and amen. God bless you. And I don't know if you feel comfortable giving a fist bump or not, but you can wave to them or throw them a kiss. Yes, and if you need prayer this morning, come on up. Pastor Angel and I would be glad to pray for you. Amen.